Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the October 2023 Fall Family Retreat held in Pipestem, West Virginia.
Welcome to the class. I'm super excited to be here. This is something that I feel super, super passionate about because power struggle is real and we deal with it as youth and as adults. So the first thing I'm going to tell you is there's a rule in this class. There are no longer in this classroom or anyone that comes in afterwards a separation mentally between our youth and our adults. This is a combination class because it is for everyone. So if you think, oh yeah, my youth really needs that, you're not thinking correctly. Don't do that. And if the youth are like, wow, I hope my mom is listening, again, messing up. We're not gonna do that. We're gonna stay on the path of we are brothers and sisters and we're in this battle together, so let's do it together. And let's not separate. Let's not divide, okay? All right. Our definition of power, the capacity of an individual to influence the actions, beliefs, or conduct or behavior of another. So I'm going to use my power to influence you, right? But in the reality, we're looking at power this day as the capacity or individuals to control the actions or beliefs, conducts, behaviors of themselves. So how many of you guys can control someone else? Raise your hand. You got this. Right. Lorelai can control other people. She's scary. So don't make her friends. She'll control you. Actually, she's adorable and you want to do whatever she says because she's so cute. Okay. Here's the concept we're going to start with, and this is the foundation we're going to walk through. If you are standing face to face having a conversation, that sounds pretty okay, right? Socializing, standing face to face. But I want you guys to think about progress in your life. If you're standing in front of someone, I need an example. Can you, Claire? If I'm standing in front of Claire and I'm talking to Claire, symbolically, can she move forward? But she's not gonna, she only can get so far. Who's stopping her? I am, right? Okay, now let's stand this way. Now, if I'm talking to her and I'm telling her of all the things that we can do together, who's stopping her? No one. The only person that's going to stop her from progressing is who?
Herself.
That's right. That's herself. Thank you. So that's the concept we're going to think about. Every time you get into a situation with anyone, I didn't say youth and I didn't say adults. Remember, we're not going there. Think about that mental picture. Am I standing in front of someone and keeping them from moving forward? Or am I standing shoulder to shoulder? You can see the group of people standing face to face, small group, shoulder to shoulder, they're going somewhere. They're gone. They're working together. So now I need the commitment because this is hard. Are you willing to let go of that limiting belief that you can control someone and find a way that better serves you? Raise your hand. I want commitments. I need to know you guys are willing to commit, because later on, when you're standing in front of somebody and they're like, you know, I feel like you're standing in front of me. I love you. But I feel like I would like to progress with you. Then I want you to go, that's right. We're doing this together. Okay. I love this talk in general conference, and it like hit me like a truckload because I thought this is a hard subject. Remember, truth and love. I'm going to try to share this information with truth and love. You can read this quote later. I want to make sure we get through all the rest of it. You guys remember this one, right? Anyone not remember this one? Do I have to read this one to anyone? You got this one, right? Truth and love. Here's the first one. When people are forced to do something they don't want to do, they often focus more on their anger toward the person rather than the demanded task. Right? Anyone not feel this way? I'm an adult, I still feel this way. Mm-hmm. So there is no separation again between our youth and us. We all feel this way. Someone demands something, go do this. It's like, is it about the thing that they asked us? It was easy. They just wanted a drink of water. Why am I so upset? Okay. Disobedience is essentially a prideful power struggle against someone in authority over us. It can be a parent, priesthood leader, teacher, or ultimately God. A proud person hates the fact that someone is above them. He thinks this lowers his position. So we're going to go into some motivation things too. If you are in a power struggle with someone, check yourself. Okay? Selfishness is one of the most common faces of pride. How everything affects me is the center and all that matters. Self-conceit, self-pity, worldly self-fulfillment, self-gratification, and self-seeking. Okay? That wasn't me. That was President Benson. Just so you know, I'm bringing out the big guns. All right. Let's talk about a concept of owning your own power. No one can gift you power. False power, false confidence dissipates over time, and you don't have any power. You can pretend and fake it till you make it. Where are you standing? You're not standing on anything. Authentic power does not come from an external source. True power is generated from within. So, if you say, "You make me mad," whose power am I, who am I giving the power to? Someone else, right? I'm saying, I don't have any power. You're the one that made me mad. You're the one that made me feel sad. You did this to me. Well, that's a choice. It's a choice. It doesn't feel like a choice. And trust me, how many hear people every day on the news giving somebody else their power? It happens all the time. And why do they want to do that? We'll get into that. Confidence, a feeling of self-assurance arising from one's appreciation of one's own abilities or qualities. Now, false confidence, what does that mean? It means that you don't have an appreciation for your own abilities and your own qualities. You're like, oh, remember the power of words that we got? That's internal. That's what you think about yourself. So the power that you want, that confidence that you want, it's worth working towards and getting. All right, let's talk about stealing someone's power. We already said that we can give our power away, but can someone steal our power? Let me tell you a story. So there was this couple, I don't know who they are, I'm gonna do that. And this woman was righteous, she was. But when her husband said, "Honey, we need to go to the temple once a week. God said so, right? Somebody said so. We have to do this." She was like, okay, so she went, and then it would come up. Sonia. Someone. We have to go to the temple. And I'm like, and she was like, never mind. Okay, we are with all the back. I will own my own power. She said, you know, I just don't know if I feel like going to the temple. It had nothing to do with the temple. What did it have to do with? Being told that I had to go to the temple. Guess what that did to me? It took my power, my joy, I'm going to the temple because I want to be there and I want to have this wonderful experience and I love being at the temple. When I was a little girl, I lived in St. George. When the buses from Vegas didn't show up to do baptisms, they called me and my brother. We're on our bikes. We're riding down the temple. I think I did 105 baptisms at one time. Boom. One time. I wasn't even human at that point. I was like something amphibious, right? Amazing. I love the temple. So why would I give up that beautiful experience? Why? I'm an adult. I am not some rebellious youth. I wasn't being prideful. But I wanted to own that experience. Who wants to go to the temple and resent being there? No one. Youth? Adults? Think about that. Think about that. Nobody wants to resent being somewhere that they should be. So what changed? I said, I'm not going to the temple with you. I'm a horrible person. I'm not going to the temple, just not going to do it. You know what I did? He went to the temple by himself. I went to the temple by myself a different day, and I didn't tell him. because it was my power, and I was using it, and I felt slightly good, a little bit guilty. But eventually, he was like, Sonia, I'm going to the temple, and I'd be like, have a good time. Next week, Sonia, we're going to the temple. Have a wonderful time. Learn something. Sonia, I'm going to the temple. Have a great time. Sonia, I'm going to the temple. And he didn't say, Sonia, you have to go. Previously, Sonia, are you coming? Sonia, are you coming? You should come, Sonia. You're, you know, not out loud, but you're a horrible person if you don't go. And I'm like, yeah. One day, packed up, got ready to go. He's like, Sonia, I'm going to the temple. I'm like, I'd like to go with you. We went together. He never said, Sonia, we have to go to the temple after that. The problem was, I didn't stand up and say what the problem was from the beginning. I wasted all that time. I held on to something that I shouldn't have. Not cool, right? The temple is cool. I was not cool, but I learned. Okay. Messages are actions and words portray. We already know how important words are. Let's go through a couple of them. You are not capable of doing this on your own, sweetheart. Let me help you. What's my word saying?
You're not capable enough.
You're not capable. That's all they hear. That's all they hear. But I'm helping. You need my direction to succeed. Oh, honey. Let me stick it on this side, not that side. What am I saying?
You're doing it all wrong.
Why do the youth know this? They know this stuff. I didn't remind you. If I didn't remind you, you would forget. You'd get hurt, and then you'll give up. And so let me help you do that. I'm helping to make sure that you don't fail. I need it to be you and whatever to be perfect so that I don't have to do it myself. Otherwise, I'm going to have to go back and do it myself and all of that. It's going to take more time for me, right? I trust myself and I will guide you through. I love you, but I need you to obey me. Okay? Believing side. You are capable of doing this on your own. You are free to ask for support if needed. I believe you will be responsible for yourself. I know you are smart enough to figure it out. Pain teaches and allows you to grow. Even when you fail, you will learn and gain power by incorporating the new knowledge. I see the efforts you are making and know you will continue to progress. I love you and I believe in you. Different, right? Now, how many times are we on the helping side? In my house, there was a saying. I said, when is helping not helping? A lot of circumstances. When is helping not helping? So, all right. Harmful communication. This should be obvious, but we're going to go over it. Lecturing, moralizing, preaching. When parents are helpful, what's it called? When parents are helping you, what's it called?
Lecturing.
Go nagging. Ahead. In my day, it was nagging. I don't know if it's different now, but nagging, right? It's nagging. But that's helping, right? Nagging. Interrogating, discounting their efforts. Placating. Oh, honey, that was really special. No, that's not really special. Tell them, honey, that's really great. Are you satisfied with that? Do you like what you did? Let it be their power, right? Providing empty reassurances, judging, condemning, threatening, blaming, criticizing, ridiculing, talking about one's own feelings when the person needs to share his or her. How many of you guys find yourself listening to someone and going, oh, I have something to say about that. Wait, hold on. Is she done yet? Is she done yet? Is she done yet? She's not done yet. Okay, well, I'm going to forget it. I'm going to see you. And what am I not doing? I'm not listening to anything she has to say. I'm all about, oh, gosh, I have something to share. I'm so guilty of this. I want someone to be like I captain whenever I do that from now on. All right. So this is not just my experience. God gave us a really great example from the get-go. The importance of not helping in the wrong way, right? So we have this guy named Adam. He has a lovely wife named Eve. And God says what? You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from the tree, you will certainly die. It seems pretty straightforward. Now, God goes away. Adam's over here playing with bunnies. Eve's getting a little hungry. She sees the tree. We actually know that she had a plan and this was all. We're having fun here. She's climbing the tree. She's in the tree. She's going to go grab a piece of fruit. Adam, completely clueless, playing with the bunnies. God in heaven knows. He's watching, right? What do you not hear?
Stop doing that.
Eve! Get out of the tree! What are you doing? I told you not to get in the tree. Didn't I tell you not to get in the tree? How many times do I have to tell you not to get in the tree? I told you, and I told you you would surely die, but you got in the tree. Now you're in the tree with her. And now you're like slapping her hand. You're like, get down out of this tree. Do I have to stand here in front of the tree and guard the tree? I'm gonna have to go get cherubim. He's gonna have to come over here and guard the tree because you're in the tree. Get out of the tree. Does he say that?
No.
No. What does he do?
He lets her.
He lets her. Why?
Because he knows it's good for her to progress.
Because he knows it's good for her to progress. It was eternally good for all of us to progress. It was something he told her not to do, and she did it, and she made a mistake, and now we all get to progress just like she did. But if we don't give people the right and the power to do that, we are stealing that progression. We're standing in front of them. So, stay out of the tree. Okay, now we're gonna say what we are gonna do. We are gonna stay on the same side. So we're gonna change things right now. I want everyone to stand up. Now here's the rule. No adult can sit next to another adult, and no youth can sit next to another youth. Go, 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 we don't have a lot of time. Move, move, move. We are on a team here. Team players, together. Move, move, move. You can leave it where it's at and then come back and get it later. No one's gonna steal it. Make a new friend. Adults and youth combined. Everybody, our army. We need an army of God united in purpose and in... You guys are all adults.
I'm an adult. He's an adult. These are youth.
You guys are
These guys are owning their own power. I love it. I am not dictating. I think that is awesome. Perfect. Awesome. Okay. So, why are we doing this? Because we're doing a visualization of what it means to be a team. There is no reason why you can't be just as comfortable next to an adult or a youth to an adult, right? Because we're a team now. There's no separation. We are standing shoulder to shoulder. You're sitting shoulder to shoulder, okay? Let's talk about some fun stuff. Now, I don't know how much time I'm really gonna try to get through all of this stuff. So I have two pages of quotes that I loved, and I'm not gonna be able to like share all of them, but I'm gonna read a couple. And then you guys can go back through on the slideshows and read them because they're really great. Okay, so here is what I liked. Listen to this. Unfortunately, most things that you do as a teenager, you do to avoid being yelled at. I learned that freedom of choice is given to you as long as you choose what is already chosen for you. Sound familiar? How many of our adult groups, and I'm only going to rarely separate you guys, remember feeling this way when you were a youth? We were all there. Why did we forget? Because now we're in control, and it's our job. And everyone's gonna look at us. We're gonna look bad if our kid doesn't like do everything right, and heaven forbid they trip when they're passing the sacrament or something. It's gonna be horrifying. Okay, as children, we strive to be who our parents want us to be. As youth, we strive to be who our peers want us to be. As adults, we strive to be who the state thinks we should be. As parents, we strive to be who we think our children need us to be. And in the end, we are nothing, hollow echoes of needs built on the perceptions of others. Walk away from that. Okay. It is this sense of responsibility is liberty. The more decisions that you are forced to make alone, the more you are aware of your freedom to choose. Does that work for all of our teammates? It's not just for youth and it's not just for adults. We need to embrace that moment when we have to choose. Because that moment is what brings us that power. Whether we choose wrong or we choose right, we gain knowledge, good and evil. See where I'm going? So we take that knowledge and we move forward in a different direction if we made a mistake, progressing farther if we didn't. And we feel good about it because it was ours. We owned it, we did it, we get to say, hey, that was awesome. Have you ever made a mistake and went, oh, Dude, did you see that? That was amazing. Okay, so I won't do that. Let's do something else, right? Okay. All right, so where to start? Because I don't want this just to be a lecture. I want you guys to go with something that you can do. First of all, recognizing when you stand face to face, no one wins. And if you find yourself in that position and you are stubborn, just keep thinking, well, I, Captain, won, but I'm not winning here. What's my purpose? What's my mission? What was my goal? And if I'm not getting there, what am I doing? I'm just wasting time. How many of you feel like they're wasting time sometimes trying to talk to their parents? You can raise your hands. Don't be shy. They're sitting next to you. They need to see this. Thank you. That was my son. Sit down. Okay. Should have banned him from coming to class. All right. Number two, pick your battles. And this is on both sides. Remember, we're not separating. Picking your battles. Sometimes when someone is not in the position to listen, what are you doing? Remember, you don't want to go to the no one wins zone. You want to be in the win zone together. If they're standing in front of you and they're not going to move, you can just say, you know what? This is not a battle that I can win. I'm not going to escalate this situation. I'm going to de-escalate it. And then when emotions are gone, and we can, emotions are never gone, but when the emotions are lower and I've fed them ice cream, we are going to talk about this. Good one, right? Okay, engage everyone in problem solving. If I say to, what's your name? Gordon, with the F?
Yeah.
That's cool. If I say, Gordon, I need to not pass out. So in order to not pass out, I brought a stool. So if you see me going over, Gordon, could you just run grab the stool or just come and grab me and like dramatically save me from passing out? Can you do that for me? Mm-hmm. Awesome. Now, I just gave him a job. Now, that I'm going to do it a little bit different. And I want you guys to hear the difference. Hey, Gordon. I pass out if I stand too long, and it's kind of embarrassing. Is there something that you could do to help me? You could get the stool. That's great. Okay, what's the difference in that two scenarios? Both of them sounded nice, right? I was very nice when I asked him to help me. That's a very kind thing to do. But the second time, Forden got to input something into the decision. In inputting something into the decision, he gets to own his power at coming up with that solution. Do you see how I did that? Is that totally possible? Can youth do it with youth? Can adults do it with adults? Can youth and adults do it together? Yay, team. Okay, offering choices. Hey, would you like to go to bed now, or do you want to go to bed in half an hour after we do this really fun thing together? And they're like, hey, I have choices. Now maybe bedtime's not going to be so hard about, let's get them to bed. Or do you want to wear these shoes or these shoes? I had kids who didn't want to wear shoes at all. So you give them choices, and all of a sudden, they're like, oh, I have the power to choose the shoes that I'm wearing. Not do you get your shoes on. You stop. You never put your shoes on. Why are you doing this? No. What shoes would you like to wear? What would you like to go see? What would you like to go do? Every time you give people choices, anybody, and they get an ownership to that moment, then they're in shoulder to shoulder, right? We're not doing face to face. Okay. Provide consequences and get input from everyone. So we love to do family councils. I have 10 children. Everybody had opinions. But we still had these great family councils. Now, I will tell you that my kids, if I said, okay, bedtimes, what happens if you don't go to bedtime on time? You guys come up with the consequences. My kids were brutal. Now, they're sitting in this beautiful family council. Everyone's pretty happy with each other. Maybe one's not happy with the other one, and they know they have a problem with going to bed on time. They're like off with their heads. They should just not get dessert for a week. They should. So try to keep them in line, because my kids would use a little of those two. Okay. All right. Let there be choices. And okay, so let there be choices. And then always say yes. So here is a quick story. I had a daughter. No, she still exists. I have a daughter, and when she was young, she was the one that if she got in trouble, she'd go into her room, turn on the intercom, and rant to the rest of the house about how unfair her life was. Unfortunately, the intercom also went out to the backyard, which was in the park behind that, and so anyone in the neighborhood would be like, ooh, don't go to the grocery store today. Not a good idea. Sierra's in trouble. So this one... And let me tell you, I am a mother of 10, but I'm not insane. I got an au pair I'm also a little bit lazy. So I got an au pair, and I had different au pairs coming from all over the place. We had English, we had Australian, but this one came from South Africa. And she was amazing. Her name was Phumza Shiklisha. So she could teach us a little of the clicking language. It was really fun. And my kids actually know how to take out braids of, you know, black language. And so it was an amazing experience, and I loved her to pieces. But when she first came, she said, okay, Sonia, I'm having a great time. Kids and I are getting on great. We're reading about the apartheid, which she lived through, which was amazing. But I'm really struggling with Sierra. Like, yeah, well, I can understand that, you know. She was a baby and didn't want me to even hold her. So she's just conquering the world, right? So she said, what do I do? And I'm like, okay, here's the thing. I already knew the shoulder-to-shoulder thing. I already had my experience, right? So I said, listen, the problem is that you're having a power struggle with her. And she's like, yes, everything I say, she does opposite. Everything I ask, I've tried to be nice, she just doesn't want to do anything. And I'm like, well, I have a solution. She's like, what? I'm like, what is it that she wants to do? She's like, she wants to take over the world. And I'm like, then you ask her what you can do to help her take over the world. And she was like, oh, she's a smart lady. Comes back a week later, I was having our little meeting. How is it going? She's like, well, Sierra and I are making plans on how to take over the world, and I'm her minion, and she loves that, and so now we are besties. It was that easy. She had power she didn't want stolen, and she saw someone in authority as taking power, whether Phumza intended it or not. She just needed to get that power back. Now, Phumza is still guiding and directing, and you're still guiding and directing and helping. But the way that you do it is either you're going to do it and stop them and make them feel like they have to fight you, or you're going to stand shoulder to shoulder and say, we're a team. How are we going to solve this problem together? You want to take over the world? Great. Let's take over the world. You want to go shopping at the mall? Let's go shopping at the mall. You don't have any money? I don't have any money either. Let's just go fun. That would be just fun. Okay, let's take the whole family. Okay, that sounds less fun. But the other thing that my daughter taught me is I try to always say yes. Now, I'm a very creative person. I did the simulations class, and I think I scared some people. But I'm very, very, very fun at coming up with really fun, different ideas. And so saying yes to my children was one of the fun yeses, because it feels good to get a yes, right? Mom, can I do this? Yes. Can you do that? Yes, you can do that. Can I do this? Yes. So my daughter knew, as I was explaining it to another adult, that I did this. And she's like, okay, challenge accepted. She walks in the room. She goes, Mom, can I smoke? And I said, yes. If you are on fire, you better smoke super a lot so we know where to put the flames out. Right? Mom, can I jump off the roof? I'm like, yeah, as soon as you are certified in parachuting, you jump off that roof, lady. You make sure it's 7 feet high or 7 stories high so that you don't splat at the bottom. Just let me know and I'll have the insurance ready to go. Say yes whenever you can. Okay. Acknowledging your personal power. This is not one of the slides I'm going to let you guys go back through and read a little bit later on, but this is for adults as well as youth. This is owning what you're doing, acknowledging your ambition, acknowledging your fears, scheduling quiet time, all of the good stuff to give yourself your power. Now, let's say we're going to change. On average, it takes more than 2 months before a new behavior becomes authentic. 66 days, and how long it takes to make a new habit form can vary depending on the behavior of the person, the circumstances. In a study, it took from 18 to 254 days for people to form a new habit. So what are we going to do with ourselves and the people around us now that we've got this new skill? We're going to help each other and remind each other in a way that's like, hey, remember? Okay, so maybe we don't have II Captain, but hey, maybe that shoulder-to-shoulder thing right now would work out? Because you know we're going to make mistakes. You know we're going to fall back. You know we're going to say those words that are not what we really want our kids to hear. And we know we're going to say words that we don't want our parents to hear. Right? So we're going to step back and we're going to give ourselves some time. All right. So let's say we did our family council. And we're going to talk about, let's say, you know, we're doing bedtime here. Right? So how are we going to test out our new system? We're going to say, how do we know it's working? We're going to know if, so the thing is we're going to know by staying up later is working if you get up on time the next day. Get up on the time. Okay, so then how do you know it's not working if you have a hard time getting up? So this is one of those things where you're not fighting with your kids about consequences. The consequences are already set up, right? And you guys have already discussed it at family council. Well, Joey is having a hard time getting up in the morning, so maybe we need to move his bedtime back a half an hour. How does everyone feel about that? Joey, how do you feel about that? Or, Joey, what do you think is a good solution to the problem of you not being able to get up on time? Well, maybe I need to go to bed a little earlier. Which one? Second one, thank you.
It makes it feel like it's not a punishment for him because he's the one who suggested it.
Exactly.
Changes everything.
And then who's got the power? Everybody. Then when he doesn't go to bed on time, is that you? Okay, you have the power. All right. So do you see what I'm saying? Yes.
What do you do if they don't offer suggestions? If they refuse to give any sort of suggestion?
Then you say, okay, well, if you don't want to use your power, I can use my power, but you may not like the way my power shows up. So, but if you're willing to give me your power, I'll make the decision for you. And then when the consequences come, I need you to tell me that you are going to voluntarily comply with what I have said. And raise your hand and voluntarily comply. That means you don't get to complain. You don't get to whine and fuss and cry. And it's not my fault. It's not me. You gave me your power. And you say that to them. You make him say, okay, I'm going to give you my power because I don't want to decide. And then when it comes around with a big smile on your face, you know what? You didn't use your power on that one. That one was my power. So you voluntarily complied. And if they don't want to voluntarily comply, then you can think of something else creative. Oh, you don't want to voluntarily comply with that one? That's fine. I think your bed would look really good in the attic.
Oh.
That's my power. Okay? All right. Thank you. That was great. All right. Brain development for your teens. Now, I am talking to the adults, but teens, recognize this is for you too because you have friends who are teens. Do you see how that works? Okay? Brain development matters for your teens now as much as it did as when they were babies. Understanding basic brain development and the reason why your teen's behavior will become clear, and you will take in their actions and inactions less personally. So, teen brain functions differently than yours. You have a fully functioned brain, those fully functional brain people, and you know who you are, and I'm not going to say adults because sometimes that doesn't qualify. You have fully, it's a spectrum thing with adults as well. You have your prefrontal cortex, which enables you to make and thought out decisions is where we're at. Teenagers, the amygdala, it's the survival part of your brain. They're trying to survive teenagership. We did. We remember, but we forget because our brain works now. Theirs didn't. Theirs doesn't. It's not that it doesn't work. It just works differently. We're going to use positive words. All right. So if they process emotions. So when you say, gosh, our kids are so emotional. They're supposed to be. Does anyone know why God made our teenager's brain not function the way ours does, and they're more emotional at this point in their lives? Why? There's got to be a reason. He doesn't do anything without a reason. Why would God structure it that way? Any idea? They're emotional. Guess who the Spirit talks through? Oh. We getting that? You guys need the Spirit. We need the Spirit too, but we need to remember when we felt the Spirit. Why is there so much effort in our youth programs to help our children feel the Spirit? Because God intended that brain to be a little sponge for the Spirit. So when that little sponge and that little spongy brain is getting all dramatic and laying on the floor about something, you can go, wow. You are really prepared to feel the Spirit. I can see you are prepared to use your power. I am so grateful. Exactly. That would definitely work. Okay, so here's a very important factor, because I know all of you guys are like, this sounds really great, but there's going to be a snag. And here's the snag. Trust. Because we need to trust each other to be on the same team. Trust the Lord, trust ourselves, trust each other, that we can try to do the best we can. Now, she didn't say, do the best you can, try to do the best you can. Giving ourselves that grace, giving ourselves that mercy. Parents, we love justice. Youth sometimes like justice. We all love mercy. So let's not forget that. So for a high-performing team to produce, everyone must be working in sync and giving their all until the end. Trusting each other to share when you need help will only strengthen the trust in each other and help you all perform better. If you're on a boat rowing and you're going as fast as you can, guess what you can't do? You can't see where you're going. You are facing backwards. One person is facing forwards. How much do you have to trust that person?
A lot.
A lot. Oh, tree! Sorry. That would be bad,
yeah.
Right? Paying attention. So you have to trust that person. How much do you have to trust the other people that are rowing to go at the right pace as you are? What happens if someone slows down even a little?
It actually makes it so much less efficient.
Exactly. You're going to hit oars, right? All the oars are going to start hitting each other, and it's going to be a tangled mess. So we have to know. And that also means that we have to go the same pace. Sometimes we're not going to win all the races because we're not going to be able to have someone on our team go the same pace we have, that we want to go. And I'm talking to teens as well as adults. Sometimes you will have to slow down your pace to make sure you don't lose anyone on your team. And then sometimes you will have to stop and say, I'm feeling I don't trust this situation. I don't trust. I'm scared. Let me tell you another really quick story. So I have a chronic condition I triggered 15 years ago. It's a neurological condition. It's one of those invisible ones. It's horrible because it's not like I've lost a limb or something, right? So randomly I pass out on the ground and then everyone comes running and my heart rate has spiked and all sorts of weird things are happening and no one knows what to do and it's horrible. So I have a medical ID bracelet, but I'll tell you, when I pass out, they never look. I don't know why I'm wearing this. They don't look. But there is a huge amount of trust necessary in a relationship with someone with my condition. Because they have to know that when I say, I can't function today, I'm not just trying to get out of doing the dishes. That I really can't function. So when I triggered, there was a whole lot of, well, why can't, you were so amazing before, what happened to you? I woke up one morning after being, you know, getting really bad flu, I mean, really, really, really bad, and it changed the chemicals in my brain and bad. And I couldn't move my head without passing out. I just couldn't do it. But was there anything looked like it was wrong with me? No. Why are you in bed all day? Why aren't you getting up and doing what you were doing before? Who are you? You're not the person I married. So I had to learn how to trust myself, and everyone around had to learn how to trust that I was going to do my best, no matter what it was and what it wasn't, that I would do my best. And it was not until the moment that I took personal power and said, you know what? I trust myself. I am doing the best that I can. And if the best that I can means that I'm in bed 90% of today and I'm getting out for 10 minutes to say my prayers, to go to the bathroom and to climb back into bed, but I'm gonna at least try to text one or two people. That's my best today. And then when somebody says, Mom, why are you in bed all day? Honey, why are you in bed all day? Well, you know what? I have to do this. I have to trust myself when someone says, hey, Sonia, can you do this for me? I really need this done. You know what? I can't. I would love to, but I can't. I don't have to explain. I don't have to justify. I don't have to say anything. I just know, and I'm confident because I am doing my best. So that trust has to come between all of us. On both sides of our team, on all sides of our team. So if I, as a parent, do not feel like my child is trying their best, what messages are going to start coming out of this? Right?
Do better.
Do better. I'm going to start trying to help again, aren't I? But if I say to them, listen, I need to understand what this is. What are you feeling? What do you feel capable of? What can you do? What can you not do? Tell me. Then you have to trust. Now, what does that mean for everybody? That you really have to be honest. There is no self-deception here. You can't say, oh, she'll believe anything I say. Sweet. Mom, I can't get up until noon. This can't happen. Sorry about that. I really don't think that I can do dishes anymore. I think I'm allergic to water. No. You have to be trustworthy, because if you don't, whose power are you giving away again? Your own. And if you progress, when you use your power, what happens when you give it away? You stop progressing. No one's standing in front of you except for your other teammates are shoulder to shoulder, and you're just being like, well, because if you're not going forwards, you're going backwards. Okay, so trust. Stapley of the Quorum of the Twelve at the time said, a wise man, when asked to list three cardinal points that amplify the lives of the great teachers of all time and that would be a guide to new teachers, said, first, teach by example. Second, teach by example. Third, teach by example. Another super great quote. Read that one. Evans, read that one. Greatest principles is love, coming all the way back around. Single most important thing that you can do for everyone is to love them like Christ, in a Christ-like manner. When people feel and know your love, they are most likely to listen to your teachings, follow your example, accept help from you. Love should motivate and guide all of your involvement with them. Listening without love will be perceived as disinterest. Discipline without love will be looked upon as unrighteous dominion. Teaching without love may fall on deaf ears. Family life without love will starve the spirits of all and lead to unhappiness and relationship problems. Okay. Woo! Okay. We don't want to lose. Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the recap. We do not want power struggles to go away. Why?
They bring an opportunity to get something better out of it.
Okay, power struggles means someone's trying to use power. Okay? Yeah. Using power is great, because remember, that's what's propelling us forward. That's our gas lane to progress, is using power. Now, youth in your home are trying to use their power. They were given instinctive moments in their brain at this time that says, use your power, use it. Now, if the only people that have to use their power on is you, it's not gonna be a very fun experience. So we need to stand shoulder to shoulder again so they can use their power. So who are we pushing them to use their power on now? Exactly, wherever you want. Go out there, use your power, honey. Go out to the world and use your power. How can I help you use your power into the world? Now they get to go and progress and no one's standing in their way, and we can cheer them on from behind. When they come home and they failed at something, we can go, oh, sweetheart, I'm so proud of you for using your power. That was so awesome. And it's okay if you used it in the wrong direction because you learned. Right now, this is an amazing experience. I'm so grateful that you learned. And I understand that maybe you're going to have this mistake and we're going to do this again. But every time you make the mistake and it's painful, you're going to remember, and I'm going to remember, and I'm going to be here for you. Because you know what? I did that. And I remember what it felt like. I'm with you. And I believe in you. You can do it. You can do it. We don't want limits and testing to go away. That's how they're getting stronger. These parents are like, oh, my kids are always fighting against me. Stay out of their way. Get out of the tree. Stand next to them. Let them fight with something else. Fight for a cause. Fight for their mission. Fight for their vision. Give them a direction to go and then get out of the way. If children don't practice using their personal power with their parents, they won't learn how to advocate for themselves later in life. You want them out of your house. Let them go. Unless you don't. Then that's another class. Okay. So we want to help them focus on getting stronger. We are their personal trainers. And you know what? Youth, whose personal trainers are you? Because I'm not saying we didn't separate. We're still all together, right? Whose personal trainer can you be? Your friends.
And your siblings.
Your siblings. Anyone. Your dad. You can help anyone. Is your dad going to listen to this recording later on and know that it was you? Is that right? The recording is going to be fun. Okay. Okay. So, let them have their power. Take your power. And bring on the power. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this record. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.